Is that on the podcast? That'll be how we open. Flick 'em. Good. Okay. I'm Wendell. I'm living loved by God. I'm recovering from spiritual and emotional abuse, and I had issues with, or I'm recovering from, let's see, what else? I've been addicted to food and work and control. I've had issues with pornography and alcohol and rage and panic and depression. And anger. That's gone, though, Joe. God's really doing some cool stuff. He really is. He started with Joe and moved to me, and I think he's working on some other people, too. But, wow. I'm all good with my dad. Ah! Just so good. So good. Yeah, we had a talk this week. He's gone, but we still talked. And, yeah, it was good. It was really, really good. So, you know, we've been talking about this, how profound it is, how wide it is, how endless it is, how relentless it is. And grace is really God's expression of love to us, right? That's grace is love in action. God just adoring us and respecting us and delighting in us and all those good words that you can think of. And we understand it. I can diagram it all day long on a blackboard or a whiteboard or whatever color you want to use. Diagram it, and we're all like, I'm down with that, I'm down with that. I got it, I got it. In our head, inevitably, at some point in time after that, we put a but. I know God loves me, but we stick something in there that is some sort of a, but I could do better. I know God loves me, but I need to keep his law more. I know God loves me, but I need to study more. I know God loves me, but I need to quit whatever, porning, drinking, sexing, drugging, whatever it is. I know God loves me, but I've got to do something. I know God loves me, but, and after the but always has something to do with me, always has something to do with producing some kind of better behavior, attitude, track record, you name it. There's always a but with me involved. We're all butts. we're asses. Just, you know, south end of a mule. That's who we are. And I just, it's really weird how Wayne and I kind of have this unspoken symbiotic cosmic thing going. Because this morning he preached on this, and I didn't know what he was going to preach on. I went, listen, I thought, shoot, dude, you're talking about what I want to talk about tonight. And we hadn't talked about it at all. That's about 3 weeks in a row when he's preached that it's just lined up. For those of you who don't know, Wayne has cancer. It's bad. And it's bile duct cancer, and he's undergoing treatment. He goes to more chemo Wednesday. Pray for him. Keep him in your prayers. But anyway... He didn't have it this week, so he felt better than he has been feeling. So he preached this morning. It's pretty good. So anyway, he was talking on God's love has something to do with outcomes, what we can produce, the outcome of our life. You know, what's the outcome of your day? At the end of the day, what can you turn around and look at and say, I did that, I produced that, I, you know. And you notice the common denominator, I, what I did. Or it could be what I didn't do. Hey, I went all day and I didn't take a drink. Hey, I went all day, I didn't look at porn. Hey, I went all day, didn't lose my temper. Whatever it is, but it always has to do with. And so we're focused on life. We're focused on the outcome side of life. And it's basically what can you produce? What can you produce? What kind of performance or production can you put on? So I want us to think about two times in life when that is absolutely impossible. One time is when you're very, very young. How many of you all have three-year-olds who contribute to the family budget? They take away from it, but how many make contributions to it? How many of them can fix, well, this is probably, there's some who could. How many can fix the computer when it tears up? They're just 2 or 3 years old, you know? How many literally do anything to produce anything in the house except poop and dirty clothes? Literally. When you're very young, you bring nothing productive to life. The only thing you have is just the fact that you're alive, that you are. I mean, I know that a kid would not understand this, but if you ask a little child in the morning, what are you going to do today? And they say, I'm going to be, because that's all I know to be or to do is just to be. I'm going to be me, you know, because that's all they know how to do. And what's interesting is that at that phase of life, doing nothing but being cute and being ornery, both, but that's a toss-up, see, because all the cuteness is overbalanced by being ornery, so really that's just a wash. So all they do all day long is just be, and yet they are who doesn't lose sleep for your children? Who doesn't mind? How many of you, before you got married and had kids, would swore I would never touch somebody else's poop? I would never clean up their vomit. I would never stick my finger in their nose and clean. I would never, ever, ever do any of that. Before you get married and have kids, you swear all kinds of stuff, and you have kids, and what happens? You got that finger up in there. You don't think anything. Why? Why? Do they pay you? You know, do they do projects around the house to say, I've done enough now for you to pick my nose? You know, it ain't happening. They don't do anything but be cute and be ornery, which I say is a wash. So they're just being little tiny human beings, and yet we absolutely adore them. And how many have to calculate that adoration? How many have to sit down with a calculator and say, I'm not so sure I'm going to adore you today because you don't rank yet. You haven't earned enough brownie points today to rank. I'll tolerate you, but you've not got to the adoration level yet. Anybody does that kind of calculation? Any parent sit down with a child and does that kind of thing? You don't. You instinctively, and out of just this huge capacity to love, you love that child, you pick their nose, you clean up their vomit, you wipe their butts, you clean up simply because they're human beings and they're adored by you. They're bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh, and you know what, even if you foster or you adopt, they're still bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. You absolutely adore that child because they're yours, because they're your children. Who has not been a child? Not a one of us here. We have all been to the place where we had to receive undeserved love day after day after day after day. And when we grow up, we can't do that anymore. How did that happen? What was the transition that caused that to all of a sudden, now I got to earn it? Now I know God loves me, but there's some sort of, you know, where did the but come from? Where did we learn about that? Who taught us that? Did we come up with it? I don't know. It just, you know, we did. Kids, he adored us, and now that we're grown up, he's not so much. Because you're not producing what I want you to produce. Or you're not doing the stuff I don't want you to do. So all of a sudden, I feel differently toward you. Why do we keep harping on this anyway? Time out. Back up from what we're saying. Why do we keep harping on this? Can you talk about something else, Wendell? I'm being serious here. I'm not being silly. Do you have to talk about grace all the time? Do you have to talk about love all the time? Can't we just get over this? It's because we all resist it. It's because we fight it. And the other part of it is when it finally started to sink through to me, my life changed. Why wouldn't I want to share that? I preached for years and years. And I preached God loves you. And I realized that God adores me. He doesn't tolerate me. He adores me regardless of my behavior, good or bad. He adores me. He's gaga over me. When that hit home here, not here, here, everything started to change on the inside. The wounded places became better. The addictions started just kind of fade away. The attitudes started to change. Everything changed. So what kind of person would I be to get up here and not try to share that? So that's why I keep coming back over this, over this, over this. And so that's why we're doing it again tonight. Okay? So, okay, now we're back on task. So there, I said there were two times in life when you can produce nothing. You can do nothing that you would call productive, or, you know, you can't turn around and crow about your performance. One is when you're little bitty. The other is when you're very old. And guess what? Unless you die prematurely, that's where we're all headed. We're headed to the place where they're going to have to wipe our butt again. They're going to have to clean up our snot again. They're going to have to clean up our vomit again. We're going to spill things all the time, and they're going to have to clean that up again. And we're not going to be able to earn any money, and we're not going to be able to fix any computers, and we're not going to be, you know, we will lose the capacity to produce anything positive in life in terms of the way our culture calls producing something positive. We're all headed to that place. Some of us sooner than others, but we're all, it's inevitable. Time marches on. That's where we're headed to. So if you're not good with being loved without producing something, you're not going to be good at all with growing old. And I have noticed people who grow old and are miserable at it are people who have fought God's love their whole life. They're still trying to earn something that can't be earned, that doesn't need to be earned. The happiest old people I know of are the people who have learned to let God love them. They've learned to receive love, not because they deserve it, because if you deserve it, it becomes a business deal. This is not love anymore. So we have to come to the place where we simply accept love, because that's who God is, and that's because how he feels toward us. He doesn't love us to produce some sort of outcome. I love you so that you'll quit drinking or drugging. I love you so that you'll quit looking at porn. I love you so that you'll read your Bible more. I love you so that you'll pray more. God doesn't love us because he's looking for some sort of outcome, because he's looking for better performance. Right? Why do you love your little kids? Not because you're looking for better performance, but because they're your child. Why do you love your senior citizens? Because they're your moms and dads and grandparents. And you love them. And you just want to take care of them. They can't give you anything back but just lay there in bed. I mean, some of them lay there for a long, long time and can't carry on. Don't even know when you walk in the room. They don't know who you are. Do you love them any less when they don't know who you are? You see? Are we getting this? And so here in the middle of our lives, here in the viable section of our lives, when we think, I've got to produce something. No, you don't. No, you don't. You just simply receive God's love. Now, Jesus, there's a trick to this. And he told us what the trick was. When you stop trying to produce good things and you just simply say, I'm going to let God love me, he drew a picture of that. A parable, if you want. He said it's like the vine and the branches. When the two are fastened together, fruit is produced. It's just a natural outcome. It's not something you work at. It's just a natural outcome. And so if you think about letting God love you, just live there. What am I going to do today? I'm going to let God love you so I can produce good fruit. No. Where's the emphasis there? We raced past God loving me and went straight to so I can produce fruit. So now basically we're just saying, well, God works for me. I have this idea of what I think I ought to produce in life, and so where do I get my energy? Will I let God love me? But it's all about what I produce. God's just my gas station, or God is just my outlet I plug into. I'm using God. He works for me. He's my assistant. But I got these plans of things that I think I ought to do or not do. I'm not feeling good about that arrangement. But instead, my emphasis every day is, what am I going to do today? I'm going to let God love me. But I'm an SOB. I know I'll screw up. So? Just let him love us today, knowing what today will probably bring, but just let him love us and then see where that goes. And all I can do, and there's several here who could as well, but all I can do is testify to the fact that when you start living that way, behavior does change. Attitudes do change, but it's not because you're working on them. It's a sneaky thing. You wake up one day and realize, I don't have that feeling anymore. It's the thing with my dad. I didn't want to hate my dad. I didn't want to be angry and see how that works. Not be angry. If you're angry, tell yourself not to be angry and see how that works. You can't not be angry. So I just let God love me, knowing I was angry at my dad. You know I'm angry at my dad. But I'm going to let you love me anyway. And then the day came when I sat in a group with Joe, and Joe opened up about his story, and it was the most magic moment. It was like, that's me. Boom, it went from here to here. And so we talked, and I took steps. Boom, the anger is now gone. But it wasn't going to let the chips fall where they will. And it started out as CR and then as pathway. When was it, Lewis? 05? Yeah. This is 19. This is a long time. So I've been struggling with this anger toward my dad that I knew about. I was angry before. I just didn't know it. I don't know how that happens. But anyway, all these years, and I just kept giving it over and saying, I can't not be angry. I'm just going to give it over, let you love me. And in time, boom, that happened. So if God's concerned with outcomes, he sure doesn't get in a hurry about it. He's just like, no, just let me love you. We're going to take care of things that need to be taken care of. So coming at it from this angle, I hope it helps a few of us at least. I want so bad for us to say God loves me with no but, no caveat, no added, just God loves me, period. God loves me. Think about that. God loves me. Period. End of sentence. Close the book. Put it on the shelf. God loves me. Ain't no but. All right. Where are you, Nami?